finish off last week's sugya quickly. Then we'll try to get started in this sugya, although I think we will need a week to really get into it and get out of it. Okay, last week we were aiming on the difficulty of Hesig Yad. And we basically brought down the Yisoy that we were using to answer the sugya, but we didn't get back to several of the questions. The Gemara brought down that the concept of Hesig Yad is applicable, that anything more than a selah, if that's all you got, you makayim hesig yad. But again, that's weighed by what you have at the time, and that's the question mark, at the time of the neder, at the time of the actual nesina. The Gemara here seems to say that it's not weighed by the time of the neder. That was one of the major problems in the sugya, because the Gemara said that if you make the two arachins, so we don't go ahead and say that we go by what you had at the time of the neder. And that was the whole chop, that if you pay up your second erech before paying your first erech, you get away with cheaper. Because if you have five slayim, so you go ahead and you give four to five, you give for the second one. At that point, we look at it like you gave all that you got, because that's all that you have nothing available. Because everything is meshubah to the first erech, right? So you gave everything that was available. And now when you go and turn around and give the one to the first, he hates al hesig yad. So the problem that the Rishonim had, and Tosfos presented this problem, was that normally we would weigh it at the time of the neder. At the time of the neder, you had a complete five. So it comes out that should be the actual obligation, should be five. And now if you give anything less than five, you didn't give what you have. That's Tosfos' question. So Tosfos goes on to take his approach, which, as I said, is not consistent with the other Rishonim. Tosfos, therefore, has a shita in which we don't evaluate based on the neder, although that's the simple reading of the Gemara later on. Tosfos says we evaluate it based on an evaluation. So in other words, there are three tkufas, according to Tosfos. We understand from the simple reading of the Gemara there are two time periods, when you make the neder and when you pay for the neder. That's how we understand simply. Tosfos goes on to say that there's actually three tkufas. Tkufa number one, when you made the neder. Tkufa number two, when you got assessed what you can give. Tkufa number three, when you pay it. So Tosfos says, granted that we paskin, that we don't go by when you're actually paying it. We go by when you were assessed, but the assessment is after the neder is made. The neder is made, and then if the assessment is made 2 weeks later, we go by the assessment. This guy that paid the four for the second one, chapt rein between making the neder and getting assessed. That's Tosfos. The other Rishonim, it's not going to work, because they don't hold that way. Another significant issue we had on the sugya was that the Gemara bases this whole concept on the fact that the erech that you gave for the second one is considered a valid erech because of the fact that the money was already meshubit for the first erech. So therefore, you have nothing available on one hand. On the other hand, you have nothing available, it's still called a nesina. Because otherwise, let's just take it back and give it to the first erech. So the Gemara says, from here you see, Bal choiv, mu'uchar ma'ashekodam v'gov v'gov. That's the Gemara. Which basically means, normally in Shas, the way we translate that means, that if you owe money to two parties, and the second party comes and collects first, so what they collected is collected. Party number one can't come to party number two and say, since I had Kadima, you shouldn't have done what you did, and now pay back. Party number one has no right to do that. The problem is that our Gemara bases the whole lumdus on that concept, because otherwise the shtick didn't work. You did a shtick, but the shtick only works if it works. If the halach is that you reverse the shtick, it doesn't work. So that's why the Gemara says, we're going with the assumption that you could reverse the shtick. That you can't reverse the shtick. Yet la halacha we paskin, bal choiv mu'ucha, shegova, we paskin the other way around. We paskin ma shegova loy gova. We gotta go back to the first one. So how does this work? That's the Gemara. So the Rambam was so bothered by this question, and we didn't get back to the Rambam last week. The Rambam goes and states the other way around. Ein oimrim behektish, that there's a din of bal choiv shegova ma shegova loy gova. So basically the Rambam is learning that our sugya is going with a new approach because it's hektish. By hektish there's no number one and no number two. That's the simple way to learn. There is no number one and number two. That's how the Rambam seems to learn. The problem we have with the Rambam is twofold. Problem number one, it's inconsistent with the Lashon HaGemara. So much so that some changed the Nusach. They changed the Girsa in the Gemara. But that's always the last resort. But I'll tell you that there's something bothering me that basically takes away the whole teretz, if you take this way of thinking. What bothers me is, let's analyze this logically. So what are we going to say? How do we learn the Rambam? Taka bal choiv mu'ucher mashegova loygova. Normally. Hektish is different. Why is hektish different? Because by hektish, it's one rishus. It's like one domain. Okay. So now I have a different problem. So you're basically, what are you really telling me? There's no bal choiv mu'ucher and a bal choiv muktim. There's one party. Hektish got it. So now I have a different problem. Now I have a problem that you shouldn't be yotz any of your arachim. You shouldn't be yotz at all. Because when you went ahead and gave, the whole reason why we're saying you yotz with the four, right, is because that's all you got. Why is that all you got? Because it's already pre-mishubid to number one. But there is no number one. The whole point of the Gemara is, if you would reverse it and give four to number one, you wouldn't be yotz. Because you didn't give all you got. The halacha is, if you didn't give all you got up to the full amount, you're not yotz. That's the whole point of the Gemara. The whole point of the Gemara is, if you're only going to give four for the first, you won't be yotz. So you got to be very careful what order you do this. Because if you give four for the first, you're not yotz. You didn't get, the first one is entitled to five. So you're a shtick mensch. You know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm even a hapachu. I'm going to have four for number two. But I thought there is no number two. The whole reason why number two keeps what they got is because there is no number two. Because you're telling me, l'maisa l'alocha we paskin, when you have a real number one and a real number two, and number two takes, we pull it away from them and give it back to number one. So the whole reason why over here we don't do that is because number two is not number two. He's really number one also. There's number one, and there's number one. So now I understand. So how are you yaitzim with the four? Ziskite. The Gemara says, you see, I'm still calling you Ziskite, even after that kasha. That's how much I love you. The Gemara says there's a difference which order you give it. Okay? If you give number one, four, and then you give number two, one, you only yotze number two. Number one, you're not yotze because number one was entitled to get the whole five. And it didn't get it. So you didn't give number one all you got. Is that what the Gemara says? But, if you go over to Hapachu, you go and give your four to number two, then you are yotze because you gave more than you got. You don't even have four available. It's all meshubah to the first. So number four got all you got. What do you mean? There is no number two. You hear what I'm saying? It just doesn't work. Why did you consider that number one got all the But it doesn't get pulled back for number one. No. 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 Hekdesh now has two debts by you. Okay? Hekdesh. Let's get something very clear. There's clearly two chayvas here. We are not saying that there's one chayv. Let's get that straight. There are two obligations. There's erech one, and there's erech one. For sure. There is, it's two different erech ones. That's not a shaila. Let's not get confused. That's clearly the case. The Gemara's, the only shaila we have is there, do any of these obligations precede the other obligation? Halachically. Or halachically are they viewed as really one big obligation? But that was the whole hemshech of the Gemara. The Gemara said, if you makabel two erechins bevas achas, the Gemara had a shaila, what do you do? Do you give two and a half to this one, two and a half to that one? Do you have to give all five to one of them? But in a sense, if we're going to learn the Rambam, that normally when you have two debtors and debt number two comes and collects, we pull it back and give it to number one. Here it's different because we look at it like one debtor. So if that's the case, then there is no number one, number two. Because you're saying if there would be a number one and number two, then we would pull it right back. So what I'm trying to say is that the logic doesn't, it's misnugget itself. You're trying to answer one thing without looking at the global, we have a global picture here. The global picture is we can't go away from the Gemara. And the whole Gemara is riding on that there's a number one and a number two. That's the whole lumbus of the Gemara. I find this a lot, by the way. Sometimes you find a person is trying to make a diyuk and answer a shvera Rashi. And the way the Rashi, the whole sugya makes sense. So they got the diyuk and Rashi fits now. The whole sugya is gone. So the first thing is the sugya has to make sense. So whatever pshat we're going to come in the sugya, we still have to maintain the fact that the Gemara clearly says that there is a number one and there is a number two. So if there is a number one and number two, why don't we say that Masha Gova Go? Doesn't make sense. So I want to tell you what I think is a Poshet Pshat. It's a Poshet Pshat. There's a whole Shaila in the Rishonim. When we say a Baal Choyv Mu'ucher, a Baal Choyv that comes later and he collects, so we paskin Masha Gova Loi Gova. We paskin that it goes back to the first debtor, right? Goes back to the first one. So there's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim hold it's only by kark. Property has a lien on the property. We could say the lien is to number one, not to number two. So long as number one exists, number two is only a second lien holder. Just like we have in secular law. Lien holder number two only comes after the lien holder number one has been satisfied. But if you collect metalklin, it doesn't make a difference. What does that mean? Because there's something called a shibud haguf, and there's something called a shibud mamon. Shibud haguf means the person is meshubet to me. Reuven borrowed money from me. He's meshubet to me. He, Reuven, is meshubet to me. Ad kedei kach, some rishonim hold, I can go to Reuven and tell him get a job. Let's say he has no money, zero. No money at all. I can go to his house and say get a job. That's pshat, eved loy velish malvin. The Rosh in his tshuvas analyzes whether you can do that. I once gave halacha shir and shul, because this shaila came to me lamaisa. There was a guy in the general area, in the general community, who had a choiv. He lent out money to somebody, and the person was an honest person, was not capable, based on their current income, to pay back. But they had the kind of job that they could do overtime. So the guy, let's say, is working from 9 to 6. He's getting paid $150 an hour. Okay, he could stay another 4 hours. And not only that, he'll get overtime, he'll get a time and a half. So the guy came to me, Aloha Lamaisa, Erlocha guy. He said, I want to go to him and tell him, it's not fair. Work overtime, pay me back. I know you can work overtime. Pay me back. He wants to know if he's allowed to do that. And I gave a whole shiur that Shabbos, when the Shaila came up, I gave a shiur on this topic. The Rosh holds that although you have an ability to collect the money from the person, every penny that he has, says you can't make him work because Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, v'lo avodim la avodim. You can't make another person work. So that's, I went into a whole shaila. Some hold that that's only by a, if you're going to make a make him into an eved. But a schir yoim, a guy's being paid by the hour, that's not called an eved. This is all shaila. Okay? But I'm just telling you that that crystallizes this concept that there's a shibud on the money, and then there's a shibud on the person. Now those rishonim who hold that we only say mashigova gova, mashigova loigova, that goes back to the first guy, is only by karka. What's the pshat in that? The pshat is, when you're meshubah to somebody, begufay, there's no timetable on that. There's no difference between debtor number one, number two, because they're both coming to you saying, you're meshubah to me. You owe me the money. In a heftz, in an object, you could say, well, the object is already spoken for. I have a piece of property. It's already spoken for number one. So you could say, it's almost like a bailus on the object. Okay, so there it makes sense. You could say there's a number one, and then there's a number two. Number two comes and he says, I also own the object. We say, no, the ownership on this object, in the terms of Shibud, is to the first guy. It's spoken for. That's all. Just like if you try to sell your property twice. I go over to you, I sell you my property, I go to somebody else, sell you my property. So the halach is, the second guy doesn't own it. By the way, he has a shibud on me, he can get his money back from me. I owe him now the $100,000 that he paid. I owe him. But the property he doesn't own. The property is spoken for. That's the pshat in the Rishonim who say that there is no number two when it comes to the person. Because neither of them own you. They have a schus in you that you have to pay them the money. So it's not restricted to any specific object. So there's no number one and there's no number two. There's shibud aguf. That's the pshat in that shita. On the other hand, on property, there is such a thing as a shibud to number one, spoken for. The other opinion says no, even by metaltlin, there's this quasi bailus that the person has on the metaltlin, and number two can't come in, so long as number one wasn't paid. So I want to tell you a pshat to shaila. Even if you learn that when number two, when the second guy walks in and he collects, that we pull it back, even if it's a metaltlin, even if he came and took cash, we take it, pull it back from him, give it to the first guy. I want to tell you that I could say there's a big difference between the two. When you have a piece of property that's meshubah to your $100,000 debt, the first guy owns that property. It's his property. When the second guy comes and takes it, it's karka b'cheskes b'aleokan. It's nothing. It's he didn't even take it. Nothing happened. Nothing occurred. Okay? However, if I go to you and I take $100,000 cash from you that you owed me, even if the halacha would be that the person could go now and take the $100,000 back, we could say, that's a new schus he has. He can come to you and say, listen, I'm here number one, so even though you grabbed the money, now I come and I have a right, I'll be din to ask you for that money back. But it's your money when you have it. If you went and took that $100,000 with Makadosh and Isha with it, it'll be a good kiddush. If debtor number two went and took the $100,000 that they took, right, from the person that owed them the money, and they were Makadosh a woman, it would work. If they took the land that was meshubah to the first guy, and they were Makadosh a woman, it wouldn't work. Even though there are some Rishonim hold you can't be Makadosh a woman with karka, but most Rishonim hold you could. But if you, because it's not yours. So I'm telling you there's a difference between the two ways. Right? Now, I want to tell you, I think that Mamela is Meir Inayim in our sugya. Our Gemara is only talking about Metaklim. The whole sugya is talking about Metaklim. He has five Shlomim, he has four Shlomim, how many Shlomim he has. There's no echoch at all that our sugya is talking about karka b'chlal. The guy went and he gave it, he took the four slime. I'm telling you, there's zikha number one and a number two. Because lefiyani is daiti, as I said, if there's no number one, number two, the whole Gemara doesn't work. So there is a number one and a number two. But what happened is, you went ahead and took the four slime that was meshubah to number one. and you gave it to number two. Okay. Now, technically number one could come down and collect it back. But it depends. If number one and number two are the same people, right? If number one and number two are the same people, there's nothing to be goyve. Number one can't come and say, well, number two, I want to be goyve from you. Because I am you. I'm you. So here is number one and number two. But there's no gvir. So as I explained to you, if by metaltalin, when number two comes and takes before number one, it is his. It does go to number two. It's just that number one has a schus to collect it back. It's not that number two didn't get it. Number two got it. If number two went then with Makadosh a woman, it will work. It's just that number one has a right to come to number two and say, listen, you took the money, nice chop, I'd like the money back. And you have to now, if there's anything left or everything, you got to give it back to him. If he went and used the money, so he used the money. It's done. It's gone. I would say more than that. I would say if he used the money, you don't even have a right to go to him and ask him for other monies. You send him right back to the first guy. The first guy's the guy that owes you the money, not me. You happen to have had a right to take this cash before I did. I hopped yours. Yeah? Go back to the first guy. He's the one that owes you the money. Now, by Hekdesh, this whole Metaklim thing doesn't work. Because by Hekdesh, it's the same party. It's the same bank account. See, even though there's a number one and a number two, but number two is the same account. So number two can come to number one and say, I want to pull the money, yank the money out of your account to put it into my account. It is the same account. So now we have to analyze in Lumdus when somebody pays up cash to number two, is that called a collection or is it not called a collection? Zokta Gemara Bal Choyv Mu'ucher Shekodam VeGova MaSheGova Gova. It's an act of collection. It's his. Now you have a right to go and get it back. Debtor number one could come and say, listen, I want it. Yeah? But here they can't do that. Zokta Rambam, ain't no even be Hekdesh. By Hekdesh, this. But if you're going to tell me, Masha Gova, Loy Gova, then you did nothing. When you took your fourth slum and you paid off number two, you didn't even do anything. It's still in the Rishus of the first guy. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is Masha Gova Gova. It's taka collected. Now you want to pull debtor two to the interga and say, I'm number one. You have nobody to pull to the interga. It's Hekdesh versus Hekdesh. It's Hekdesh coming to Bezdin versus Hekdesh. That kind of interga doesn't exist. But the Gemara had to first tell us that Masha Gova Gova. Because if you would say Masha Gova Loy Gova, then nothing even happened. However, since it was Meshubed to your first neder, it's called you gave everything that was available. Because you talk, I have nothing available. By the time you made the second neder, you have nothing available. You're already completely obligated to Hekdesh. So you have nothing available. So the question is, what do you have available? Nothing. To anything other than the first, you have nothing available. But now when you paid the second, your shtick was so good because you ended up paying the second guy, you paid the second guy in a way that the first guy can't come and collect it. Because the first and the second guy are the same guy. Thus meant the Rambam, that we don't say by Hekdesh that if the second guy collected, we go and take it back. We don't. But that's not a contradiction with the concept of Masha Gova Gova. What? Because when it's not Hekdesh, again, some Rishonim hold, it's all over. By Metalkalim. What I'm saying is, even the Rishonim who hold that by Metalkalim, we also say that it goes back. That's only because that's a separate inter. The number two guy gets the money, and then the number one guy comes and says, you know what, I want the money back. So he can go now and call you. The number one guy is calling you to court to get what you collected. But by Hekdesh, number one and number two are the same person. Mashigava gava just means that when money is spoken for, metatlan, when it's given for anything other than what it was already spoken for, it's collected. That's not only by hekdesh. That's what I'm saying. That's why the Gemara didn't use the term hekdesh. That answers our whole kasha. Our main kasha on the Gemara was, the Gemara is throwing out a concept which is not true. The Gemara is saying, Balchoyv mu'uchem mashigav agav. It's not true. We take it back. It is true. Mashigav agav, and then we take it back. You follow? Normally, we're dealing with when we want to collect it back from the person. Exactly. So the Rambam says, hekdesh is different. Some Rishonim actually just answer our Gemara by saying, this is metatlin, and by metatlin there's no din b'chlal, that you go and take it back. Right? But what I'm saying is that all the Rishonim agree, mashe gova gova by metatlin. They just happen to hold that you take it back then. But not because of the din normally that we have by kaka, bal choyv mu'ucher mashe gova loy gova. What I'm basically telling you is that all the Rishonim agree that by metatlin, Balchoyv mu'ucher mashigova gova. The dispute in the Rishonim is whether Balchoyv number one can go now and open up a new case. He's opening up a new case. The case is, I want to collect what Balchoyv number two took. No, no, what I'm saying is the terminology all over Shas of mashigova loy gova is only relevant to karka. And even the Rishonim will say that we use the concept by metatlin are only saying it to the extent that yes, the Baal Chayv number one can now come to Baal Chayv number two and put it back. But it was collected, and if it was used up, it would be done. It's used up. So here, Baal Chayv number two came and took it to the same pocket that it would have gone to Baal Chayv number one. There's no new case now that can be opened up. Really, in a nutshell, what I'm telling you is that all the Rishonim are maskim by metatlin, by choyv mu'ucher mashigova gova. The only reason why we debated that is because some Rishonim paskin that even by metatlin we go to the second guy and take it back. But I'm telling you that even those Rishonim agree that that's a different mechanism. That is not the mechanism that's used by karka. By karka, the mechanism is nothing was collected. And by metatlin, what happens is something was collected. There was a bona fide tfiyah and piroin, and then it got taken away. That's exactly. The only reason why we assume that there are Rishonim that argue is because there are Rishonim who say that even by metatlin, we're going to go and take it back. Many Rishonim say, no, you leave it there by metatlin. But the Arishim say take it back. All I'm telling you is that even according to them, that's a new gvir. That is not mashigova loigova. So the terminology of mashigova loigova is only by kaka. Absolutely. Absolutely. There are many cases like that, actually. Okay. So I think with this, we sort of got around the issues, the Lashonis of the Gemara and the Psak of the Rambam. Okay. When we start the Sugya of Nida, I'm going to quickly first go through give you a brief Akdoma. And there happens to be a Rambam sheet there. The Gemara goes pretty smoothly, except for the Rambam. There's a Rambam sheet there, which I don't know if you got a chance to look over the Chavis Das and the Ramban. I mean, the Ramban says, in Nida, he says, we have to go out and fight this Rambam, like it's a Melchoma, this Rambam. Yidovu kol adovim, he says, it's shreklach, this Revel Yashav also in his Sefer on Erechim, he has like one line, he says that our sugi doesn't fit with the Rambam. It's like, it's a Levaya. There's no way to make the sugi fit like the Rambam. So I want to give you a brief Akdoma, we'll read through the sugi, then we'll see if Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll focus more on the Rambam Shita, how to make it work. Basically, there are two types of tumah that a woman can experience in relationship to Nida. We happen to use the phrase Nida.
whenever a woman is tamei, we use the phrase nida. The truth is that we treat, I'm not saying what it is, we treat every woman like a zava, not a nida. So really, every single tumah that we have today with a woman in relationship to an isha is treated like a zava. Ad kedei kach, I mean, the Gemara says that's a chumah d'rabbanan. Benos Yisrael, chmiru al atzmam, Benos Yisrael accepted this chumrah, that they always sit shivanakim. I've gotten shilas, and it's not a new shilas, it's a shilas that's asked frequently in the Kiruv movement specifically. When you makar of somebody, and you think you can accomplish that they should keep one of them, they should keep neither, not ziva, should you encourage that? It's very negaya. Because nida itself is quite easy to keep. Quite easy meaning, even in the secular world, to some degree, they're purish during the active nida time, generally, right? It's not such a difficult thing during the nida time itself. And tumas nida is 7 days. From the first minute that she gets the dam, right? It's 7 days. It's 6 days plus the day that she became a nida. So the whole thing is 7 days. At the end of the 7 days, unless she's still bleeding, she's tall. She goes to the mikveh, tall. That's neither. So we never do that. That is, so what we call neither is not neither. According to the Torah, neither is a woman who does not need shivanakim. A neither is a woman who's tummy for 7 days, no matter what. She could bleed for a minute. She could bleed for 6.9 days. She's a neither. And at the end of those 6-7 days, not even Meis Leis, seven days including the day that she received it, at the end of those 7 days, she goes to the mikveh and she's tall, unless she's still bleeding. She goes to the mikveh. Now, ziva is different. Ziva requires a shiva niki. Ziva requires, that's only a zava gedola. Zava gedola means a woman who's been bleeding for 3 days. A woman who's only been bleeding for 1 or 2 days is Shemeras Yom Keneged Yom. She only has to keep 1 day of Tahara versus the day of Tumah. So Ziva has a Chumra and a Kula. A Zova Ketana, it's a Kula. She only doesn't have to have 7 days. A Nida is Tomei for 7 days no matter what. That's the Chumra. The Kula is that it's only 7 days. The Ziva has a Kula and a Chumra. The Kula is, it could be just 24 hours. It could be one more day, and that's it. But if she saw for 3 days, then she comes what Chazal term is of a gedela, and then she requires shiva nikim. From whenever it stops, if it goes on for a week, then she needs, after that, 7 clean days to become tall. The Benois Yisrael accepted upon themselves a chumra that even if their roya is tipas dam kechadol, they sit shiva nikim. No matter what. This is a chumra. Obviously, it's a din d'rabbanan, it's nispashit in ganz klal Yisrael. Nobody debates it. Not only does nobody debate it, of course, for d'orah d'orahs, but the actual chumra is a chumra on top of many chumras. Because l'chayra, if a woman saw only bled for 1 day, or two, so even if she wants to be machmir, so just count shiva nikiyim. Even if you want to treat that blood as, I don't know, was it nida, was it ziva? Okay, but either way, I'm not a zava gedola. Either way, I don't need shiva nikiyim. But no. So it's really two chumras. Chumra number one is they don't identify the blood. No woman goes, oh, that's nida blood. That's ziva blood. That's chumra number one. But then there's a second chumra. The second chumra is that, number one, I'm not going to identify the blood. I'm not going to make a chiluk bein dom l'dom. And number two, I'm going to treat it as though I'm a zova gedola. And I require a shiva nikiyim even if I didn't bleed for 3 days. Again, usually a woman bleeds for more than 3 days. But the chumra that the Benois Yisrael accepted on themselves was irrelevant of how long they bleed. No matter how long they're going to bleed, they're going to keep shiva nikiyim. Even for 1 day, they're going to keep shiva nikiyim. Hopefully at the end of next week, we'll understand why they accepted such a... seems to be a chumra al gabi chumra. But that's what they, that was l'maisa, what, it's not a chumra anymore, it's halach. It's not a chumra anymore. It's halach.
So obviously the shaila is when you have a, that's the shaila, you have somebody who's not keeping anything, not frum, but you can get them to keep one aspect. Should you do that? But anyway, al kuponim, the halacha is that the wachayish for everything to be a zava gedoyla. But there's a major controversy between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. What would be the doraisa? And I'll actually, next week, I'll give you a chilik in halacha, maybe even bizman hazeh. Right? Because l'chor bizman hazeh should make a difference. We wait shiva nekiyim, should make a difference. Most of the Rishonim are of the opinion that every single woman, every single month, creates a new cycle. Which means there are no days that are exclusive Yimei Ziva. There are no days that are exclusive Yimei Nida. It all depends what happened that month. So basically, the way the Rishayim learn is like this. A woman becomes Tomei the first time in her life, let's say. Right? She's a Nida. She's a Nida until she becomes Tohar from being a Nida. Yeah? Now, once she becomes a Nida, after the 7 days of Nida, starts 11 days of Ziva. Okay? The 11 days of Ziva are potential days that she becomes a Zava. If she becomes a Zava any time in those 11 days, so she needs now Shiva Nekiyim. After those Shiva Nekiyim, then neither cycle will start. Potentially. Right? Now, if she never became a Nida, she'll never become a Zava. It's not like we have to go, okay, 7 Nida days passed by, now it shifted over to Ziva days. That doesn't happen. The shift only occurs after she became a Nida. She becomes a Nida, starts again the cycle. 7 and 11. But the 7-11 is not automatic. The 7-11, the 7 has to happen. The 7 has to happen, 11. Now, the 11, after the 11, she also doesn't automatically become an Ida. She has to have Zayin Akim. After she has Zayin Akim, now she becomes a Zava. So every woman is constantly recycling these days, potentially. And you could imagine it could be very confusing. First of all, according to them, most of the Rishonim, it's understandable why the Bnei Yisrael took a chumrah, because this every time it changes, it's a cycle. It's not like she could have something on the wall that says, "Okay, this is the way it is." As it is, women get confused with vestis and this and that. I don't know when I did it. I don't know. I get the shilas all the time, right? So that's according. So according to most Rishonim, the woman becoming a nida dictates when the Yemei Ziva are going to begin, and her becoming Torah from the Yemei Ziva dictate when the Yemei Nida are going to begin. So it's like this. The Rambam is very straight. The Rambam holds a woman the first time in her life, she becomes a Nida. She became a Nida. That's it. That started her calendar. Now for the rest of her life, 7-11. 7 days are potential Nida days, 11 days are Ziva. 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. If she becomes a Nida in the middle, fine. If she doesn't become a Nida in the middle, it's also fine. At the end of the 7 days, she's going to have 11 days of days that she could become a Zava. Even though she never became a Nida this month. Doesn't matter. So according to the Rambam, it's really much less confusing. She could go onto the computer. She could make a program. Right? Ad bizahundun svansik. Except we'll see, there could be an Akira Savest, whatever. But she could make, that's it. Lo'elom bohem tavoida. She could have a calendar, there was never any confusion. Became a Nida, what is it? Oh, it's Ziva days, okay. It's Ziva days. It's Nida days, Nida. Makes no difference. Now, if she becomes a Zava, on day number 6, let's say, of the 11 days, and she's bleeding, straight, going, strong. The end of the 11 days, the blood is needed days. She doesn't need Shiva Nekiyim. You have what I'm saying? The end of the 11 day, now that re is needed days.
Now, but I'm saying, technically, according to the Rambam, at the end of the 11 days end, so let's say, I'll give you a different example. Let's say a woman, shalit, in the case I gave you, shalit shiva nikim anyway, because shalit to get rid of the tumah ziva, which she never went to the mikvah for. But I'll give you a real chiluk in halacha. On day number 10 of the ziva days of the Rambam, according to the other Rishonim, nothing happened. Till now. You're not up to day, there's no really day 11, because according to the other Rishonim, you become an eater now it's ziva. Now it's going to keep on going with ziva. According to the Rambam, it's going to shift from ziva back to nida. So if you're not going to become a zova gedoyla. Your ziva is not continuing. According to the other Rishonim, your ziva is continuing now. Okay? So it's according to the Rambam, according to the other Rishonim, any blood that you start seeing during the Yemei Ziva triggers Ziva, Yemei Ziva, it triggers a new 11. You follow? It triggers a new 11, technically, of Yemei Ziva. Because now it was just a day that you could potentially become a Zova. And Chanami should be a Zova Ketana. So, according to the other Rishonim, each woman is, according to the Rambam, it's not that way. So our whole sugya, as you'll see, flows seemingly only with the other Rishonim. The Ramban says a Lashon, it's a scary Lashon, a Nida Nundalit. He says, I don't know if the Rambam learned the sugya in Erech. Well, at least it was in front of his eyes when he wrote this. He says, the whole thing doesn't work. Because our whole sugya is trying to work out a situation where a woman who doesn't know where she's holding could fix her problem. She comes to Rav, she says, I don't know. This is obviously before the Bnei Yisrael Lachmiru Al Atzma. Today it's not Negeya. No woman ever has such a Shaila. Because it's always Shiva Nekiyim. It's easy. But when they were going with the 7-Eleven, it could be very complicated. So a woman comes to Rav, she goes, I saw blood. I don't know. Is it Ziv or Nida? So the Rav obviously has to give the Chumras. But the question is, that's even before Bnei Yisrael Lachmiru. You follow? The Rav would have to give her a chumra anyway. She says, I saw blood for 3 days. She needs Shiva Nekiyim anyway. She doesn't know. That's not what our sugya is dealing with. Our sugya is dealing with, how do you get back to the cycle, to know that you're okay, you're back to your cycle. Now, according to the Rambam, if you lost count of your days, l'chora, there's no way of you ever getting it back. You have no idea. Because your days are not dictated by reality. Your days are dictated by the original implementation of the 7-Eleven. According to the Rambam, 7-Eleven kicked in by the first time that she became an Eda, and that's it. Loilam. She didn't know, yeah, she lost L'chaira. That's what I'm saying. L'chaira, our Mishnah, the Mishnah says Toya. What does Toya mean? I don't know. I lost it. No, but it's not a question. It's a question. He's saying, how does she forgot what it was a set day? But according to the Rambam, L'chaira, there's no way out of such a problem. For the rest of your life, you would have had to keep what we keep today, Zion again. Always, until something occurs. You could be oiker yaveset through a leda. You can restart your whole transformation like a new person. But until you get recreated, I'm saying until she gets recreated, so she's, everything is, this is the mission. Ein Pesach betoya. Pesach means a way out. Literally a door. Ein Pesach betoya. There's no way to make a Pesach, to make an opening to the Toya, if you made a mistake, you don't know which days you're seeing. Mishiva. You're always going to need 7. That's Pashit. Because if you don't know if you're a Zav or an Ida, so you need 7 clean days. There's never going to be. And it's never more than 17. V'lo yoysa al yudzai. Now again, this only works so long that we can say that you yourself dictate by you becoming toho, you dictate when the Yemei Nida and the Yemei Ziva will keep on going. Says the Gemara, what does it mean? Toya Shomro. What does it mean? The Mishnah is talking about, let's say, Yom Echad. She bled for one day. Tomei Roisi. She says, I'm Tomei. So now the Rav says, okay, you saw blood one day. We don't know what that blood is. Was that blood Nida or was that blood Ziva? We don't know. So now, possibly, it was Yemei Nida, in which case, you're Tomei for 7 days. Possibly. That would be actually a good case scenario. Right? Yemei Nida. And possibly, it wasn't the Yemei Ziva. We don't know what it was. So the Rav says, listen. He says, Pischa Shivasa. You wait 17 days. If you wait 17 days, then you're okay no matter what. Because you have here the potential of Yemei Nida, and you have the potential of Yemei Ziva, but the most that Yemei Ziva could be is the first three made you into a Zava Gedola. Right? The first three made you into a Zava Gedola. And then, from then on, you would technically be in the Parsha of Zayin Nekiyim. Technically. So now you have to wait from then. But it's possible that the first two were Yemei Nida. The first two were Yemei Nida. And then turn Ziva. We don't know how to calculate the days that you saw. So if you're going to go ahead now and wait 17 days, you're definitely out of the zone of Nida, if it was Nida, and of Ziva, if it was Ziva. So, the simple reading of the Gemara is, if you look at Rashi, he says, Shemotira adla achar yud zayin, levad miyoyim zeh, she waits 17 days, oz choseres lepesach nidos o shisha, because mamanavshach, achar yud zayin, levad miyoyim zeh, yotasa misofik shal yimei zayv, she's out of the category of yimei zayv. Dim yoyim zeh shiroa, so what's the worst case scenario? Ziva. Ziva is what needs shivan akiyah. So assume that it was Ziva. So it started Yud Aleph Yemei Ziva. But then once the 11 days ended, Kivan Shekolu Yud Aleph Yoyim, Yotze Yemei Ziv. So the 11 days are gone. She just became a Zava. That triggered 11 days of any blood that she sees in the middle, Ziva blood. So now from that point, after 11 days, she needs Shivan Akiyah. Done. So the Shiva Nakim, after waiting 11 days from when you got the original Riyah, you're clean. You follow? Because the original Riyah can only have been, at worst, the first day of Ziva. Which means it gave you a potential of 11 Ziva days. Didn't give you more than that. At the end of those 11 days, you're nothing more than a Nida. Nida meaning the new blood that you would see would not be anything more than Nida. So, at the end of those 11 days, you wouldn't need more than Shiva Nakim from that point. We're assuming the worst. The worst is that day number one was your first day of Ziva. Right? Now, obviously, the later on in the month that she comes, later on in the month, meaning the later on in her cycle that she comes, she says, I've been bleeding for 2 days, 3 days. Eventually, it's going to work to her favor. Because eventually we're going to say that it's starting, the days are starting to muchach go into the Yemei Nida, which we'll see. She comes to you, she says, I bled one day. So we tell her, listen, worst case scenario, if this was, this started the Ziva of this cycle, so it's going to last 11 days. She sure would, because she never went to the mikveh yet. We're talking about, for those 11 days, things are going on. We're assuming things are going on during those 11 days. She saw one day. Now, but she, this is a different kasha. The Gemara is going to ask this kasha. The Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah just say, wait 7 clean days? Is that your question?
My question is, if nothing else happened, if she saw one day,
The Gemara asks if she sees she never needs more than Shiva Nakiyam. She never ever needs more than Shiva Nakiyam. So wait Shiva Nakiyam. From whatever that is, whether she saw 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5, she never needs more than Shiva Nakiyam. So wait 7 days. If she was a Nida, so she had, she's tummy for 7 days. And she go to the mikveh after 7 days. If she was Zava, so she needs Shiva Nakiyam. Count Shiva Nakiyam right now. Oh, so the Gemara says, we're not trying to get this woman to her. We're trying to find a Pesach to know for the future that she now will know when her 7-Eleven is. So in order to do that, she has to manipulate a little bit also. So in order for her to manipulate, she waits the maximum amount of time that it could be, assuming that that first day was Yemei Ziva. So that means that for the next 11 days, any blood that she would see would be Yemei Ziva. And then if she doesn't count Shiva Nakiyam, nothing will change. Her Yemei Nida won't start. You follow without her counting Shiva Nakiyam. So then she counts Shiva Nakiyam, and now she can start a fresh cycle. Because she's overlapped already, both days, and she knows for sure now that she's holding by Nida. She waited enough days that she went out of the Ziva potential, and now she's definitely, at worst, she's waiting to become Tohar from her Ziva. So she waits the 7 days, and now she goes to the mikveh, now she's ready to start a clean slate. That's what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to accomplish a clean slate. That's what the Gemara says. I mean, if we're not looking for a clean slate, the whole Mishnah makes no sense. We're trying to find a clean slate. We want this woman to be able to start again. Bereishis bara. She wants to start again. The only way for her to be able to start again is for her to wait enough days. But again, according to the Rambam, there's no amount of days that would do that. L'chor. That's why the Ramban says, I don't know how the Ramban saw this Gemara. There is no amount of days that you could wait to stop the confusion. You're in a world of confusion. But over here, according to the other Rishonim, being that the Tahara dictates the beginning of the next cycle, so you could manipulate it. See, technically, if a woman became a Zava, according to the other Rishonim, and she never counted Shiva Nakiyam, so it just keeps on going. So technically, she could manipulate. She could manipulate even the Yemei Ziva and the Yemei Nida. Technically. You follow? Because her counting Shiva Nakiyam is going to decide, and becoming Torah from it is going to decide that the Yemei Nida begins. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, all this woman has got to do is make sure she gets out of the Yemei Ziva. She's got to be safe. Then she's got to count Shiva Nakiyam. And then she's ready to start. That's pretty much what the Gemara is saying. And as we're going to see, we're going to go through the Cheshbon. Oh, it's late. Okay, I guess as we go through the Cheshbon, the Ziva and Nida days are going to meet. And as they overlap, we start needing less time to get out of the Vaday Ziva days. And that's what's happening. Again, according to the Rambam. So please, whoever didn't, if you could look up the Chavadas, before next week, all the Maamar Kamis that I gave, the Rambams and the Ramban, would be very helpful.